Hi everyone, thank you for joining me here today on Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Before we get started, I have a very quick announcement to make, and that's that my book, Awakening the Psychic Self, A Christian Perspective, is going to be released on May 28th. I'm very excited to bring this to you guys. I actually wrote it quite some time ago, and if you are familiar with the publishing process, you know things take quite some time to get in print. I am super excited that it is done, and I'm excited to bring this to you guys. So I will post a link in the actual podcast description, and you'll be able to find it. Okay, so let's move on to the topic for today, which is on energy vampires. The reason I wanted to cover this today was because last week we spoke about being an empath, and I think an important part of the conversation of being an empath is that empaths have a tendency to attract what we call energy vampires. Now, just a little fun fact before we get started on energy vampires. I'm sure everyone is completely familiar with this term. However, I'm not sure that everyone knows where this term came from. So this is a little fun and disturbing fact. So the term energy vampire actually came from, it's actually synonymous with a psychic vampire. So if you've seen that, they're the same. But this term was actually popularized in the 1960s by the creator, founder, leader of the Church of Satan, who was Anton LaVey. So Anton LaVey wrote about psychic vampires or energy vampires in his book, The Satanic Bible. And in his Satanic Bible, he wrote essentially that a psychic or energy vampire is someone who is either spiritually weak or someone who has a tendency to drain all the energy from other people. So this is actually where this term comes from. I don't think that's talked about a lot, but that was very interesting for me to learn. Does it entice me to read the Satanic Bible? No, it does not, but I'm curious, to say the least. All right, so let's move on to actual energy vampires. Sometimes, again, you'll see energy vampires referenced not just as energy vampires, you'll see it synonymous with psychic vampires and also emotional vampires. So who are these people? Why is this important, etc.? Well, for many empaths, like I said earlier, we have a tendency to attract people who need healing, people who need help, people who apparently really need a lot of attention. And it's interesting because a lot of us probably have these relationships right now in our lives, and I don't know whether or not we are truthful to ourselves about having those types of people in our circles, but most of us have them. And these are people who really do drain and exhaust you, and they completely emotionally deplete you. They drain you to death. After having had a conversation with them, you just feel like you need to sleep for 1,000 years. And I don't know, when you start these relationships, I would say that they are never healthy at the beginning, even though they can appear that way, because for empaths, if we're kicking it with someone and we meet someone and we have a great conversation with them, maybe there's no clue at the very beginning, or maybe we're tricked. I'm not really sure, but I can say for myself, I have had a couple of people in my life who I know now sucked the life out of me for years. And I'll get to why that was a little bit later, but I think most of us have these. Now, these aren't just romantic relationships or even just friendships. There are people in our families who are energy vampires, so it's not necessarily easy to just dodge them completely, right? So we have to find ways to kind of deal with that. So I read that there are different types of energy vampires, and I don't know that we've all come into contact with the various so-called types, but I think that we've come into contact with at least a few of them. So one of one type, I would say, of the energy vampire is someone who is the victim, someone who plays the victim, right? The world is against them. Someone who always needs to be rescued. They're very dependent. And this relationship, of course, is very unhealthy because, again, empaths always attract people who need help. And because you're an empath, you want to help them out so much, right? We want to save everybody. We want to heal everyone. We want to fix everyone. And boom, perfect. This is someone I can just give to. And this is going to be a great relationship when the alarm bell should be going off at the very beginning. And we should be able to determine, or at least discern that, oh, you know, why is the world against them? And it's kind of hard, I think. Well, maybe it's not that hard at the beginning to discern, you know, that this person is the so-called victim. If you start a new friendship and that person is, I don't know, going through a lot of personal things in their lives, it's not easy to necessarily define them as being the victim because things do happen in our lives. But there are patterns. If you have a friendship and, you know, they're going through something, whether, let's say, I don't know, a divorce, lost a job, broke up with a boyfriend, something. This happens in life. So these can be healthy relationships. But if you find yourself constantly having to rescue them, constantly having to, not having to, but feeling the need to give to them constantly from your heart without guilt, right? There's a problem. There's a huge imbalance in that relationship, and they are definitely playing the victim card. So I, you know, if they're very dependent on you, right, always telling you their sad sob stories, then, and if it's a recurrent pattern constantly, it's time for you to take a step back and assess that relationship and see that, how is it that the world is always against them? I can say that I've had that friend, that type of friendship. And at the beginning, I just wanted to help. You know, I thought I had stuff in common with this friend, and I love to help people. So I didn't look at it as, you know, a red flag that this person was always in dire straits, always needed help for years, plural, which is sad and pathetic in retrospect. But in truth, I always just wanted to help them. And they took and took and took and took, just always. And I think that's a telltale sign of an energy vampire. So if you kind of have someone in your life who's like that, again, it's time to either set boundaries, cut that relationship and move on, or really minimize the amount of time you spend with that person and stop giving to them. Just stop. Without having to offer any explanation, because you don't owe them anything. So another type of energy vampire is the narcissist. And I think we've all kind of encountered someone who's narcissistic. This is someone who is self-important, someone who has delusions of grandeur about themselves, someone who likes a lot of attention. This person, unfortunately, lacks the empathy that you have for other people. It's always about them. It's always me, right? How do you know, besides, you know, those telltale signs that you're dealing with a narcissist? Well, they're manipulative, for sure. However, they will rarely ever ask you about yourself. It's a very one-sided relationship. It is always going to be about them at the start and will always be about them for the entirety of the relationship. So again, you'll always be listening to them talk about themselves, but they will have no interest in who you are, what you do, what you love, etc. So it will always be an imbalanced relationship. And I feel like those are some of the more scarier relationships to have, whether it's romantic or friendship-wise. Because this person, again, has absolutely no empathy, cannot see the world from anybody else's perspective, and couldn't give crap about what you think. So if you have that type of relationship where you realize that the other person is my friend, but they know absolutely nothing about me, and we've been friends for like a year, it's time to really, you know, either set boundaries, but I would just say it's a worthless relationship, and it's time to move on. This is somebody who will just just suck the freaking like life out of your being. You will feel exhausted after having listened to them go on and on and on about themselves for hours on end. And again, I've had that relationship where it was very one-sided, but again, being an empath, you feel like you're there to be supportive, helpful, take one for the team, you know, uplift humanity, etc. And that's really putting yourself last. That's not being respectful even towards who you are. So I feel like the narcissist relationship, that type of energy vampire, is a little scary, to be honest. People who have no empathy for others, that's very alarming for me. The other type of energy vampire that you might encounter is somebody who's just very controlling. Someone who, I guess you can say, has an OCD type of personality, but somebody who always has an opinion about everything, and whose voice needs to really be heard. So again, some of these categories I feel like should be conflated, because someone who's controlling, I also feel like, is somebody who can be very narcissistic, right? And again, if you have a relationship where the other person's opinion, they always try to talk over you, it's an alarm bell that they are an energy vampire. I feel like those are some of the biggest signs that you have an energy vampire in your space. And there's always a physical effect. That's how you also know that you're kind of dealing with someone who is just taking the very essence of your being. You feel like crap afterwards. You feel very, very tired. You feel like you have to sleep for days and days. And, you know, it's hard because there are energy vampires everywhere. And I wouldn't say that all people who are energy vampires do it knowingly. Because I think sometimes, again, when we're going through issues in life, we want somebody to talk to and we need that support. And sometimes that support is manifested in, you know, with the other person being the listener. So we do need that. But those relationships have to be balanced. And you also have to be able to set boundaries, right? And I think for some people where you know you have those types of people in your life, but yet you refuse to get rid of them because you have known them so long, I think that, you know, there's a big lesson in that. And that is that you outgrow people. You're growing in life. And some people you leave, you know, behind. Not because you're superior, but because there are other lessons for you to learn and you've outgrown what you needed to learn from that person and vice versa. You've outgrown, I would say, that experience, right? So I feel like it's okay for you to cut those relationships and just move on without owing them an explanation. Because again, I feel like empaths have a tendency to feel very guilty because they think they're going to hurt someone. And we need to kind of reclaim, you know, our self-worth and trust that our decisions, you know, are healthy for ourselves. And it's okay to outgrow people in life. And sometimes you will re-encounter that person later in life and you'll be at different stages. So the relationship will be different, but there should be no guilt associated with that. Okay. So the other thing I kind of wanted to talk about was, okay, we talked about the narcissist, we talked about the controller, we talked about the victim. And it's funny because we see these types of relationships play out, you know, with in a romantic sense, and I would say in a familial sense, but also with our friends, but in those types of spaces, right, in relationships. But how do you see this manifest in the metaphysical community, which is kind of what I really wanted to talk about? Because I will say I have noticed that in the metaphysical community, I have encountered a lot of victims and narcissists. And this isn't to classify that community, you know, in a certain light. But I will say that sometimes we're all kind of, I guess you could say, energy suckers to a certain degree, but maybe not at the same level. And I wanted to talk about encountering vampire, energy vampires in metaphysical communities, because again, there's an assumption that all of this stuff, like all of these types of people, these events, etc., are occurring outside of, let's say, the New Age community, whatever you want to classify it as. But that's not the truth. It's everywhere because we're all human. And I will say it's interesting when you begin to kind of journey out and try out new groups, let's say to develop your skills. Let's say you want to learn the tarot, or you want to learn runes, or you want to learn how to read, you know, oracle decks. If you want to study mediumship, I mean, you have to practice in groups, right? So that means what you have to work with people, excuse me, as you would in any part of your life. However, it's kind of interesting to watch that play out because there's kind of an assumption that we're all at some sort of superior spiritual level and we're all enlightened masters to a certain degree, but really that's not the case, right? We're all here just to learn as well. But what I have encountered from going to many classes in many places is that you will find quite a few energy vampires there too. And I have probably been guilty of that to a certain degree. And again, if you're an empath, you're going to just attract these people because you feel the pain of other people and you want to help them, right? We want to save the world. We want to save everybody. We want to heal everybody. We want everything to be great. And that's not really our complete job. And so when you're in spaces where people are trying to learn and grow and heal, it's like, you know, there's some sort of magnet where, boom, they're just going to come into your life and you're going to try to fix them forever in a day, and then it's going to blow up in your face. So when I was taking classes, I would say in mediumship, it was interesting because there was a girl in the class. She was very, very self-assured. Definitely loved attention in that circle. And we were all beginners at the time, but I remember listening to her talk about herself before we even entered the room. And, you know, she was talking about how she was skilled in, I don't know, was it voodoo, Santeria? I cannot remember, but it was a laundry list. And, you know, so we got into the room and we're all sitting there in a circle in the dark with a tiny little tea light, which, by the way, when you're just starting mediumship and you're just kind of going down this path, feels scary to just do that with a bunch of strangers. But anyway, we're sitting there and we were all kind of just put on the spot to talk about what we were seeing, experiencing, etc. This one woman just could not stop talking about herself the whole time. She didn't give anybody an opportunity to really talk about what they were seeing, you know, ask questions, just share information, etc. She was very domineering and really wanted to control what was happening in the room, but also wanted to just talk about her own self. And I just thought that was interesting because I think, again, there's just this lingering underlying assumption that we're all supposed to act a certain way and we're all supposed to have a certain level of understanding. But we are who we are. And like I said, energy vampires are everywhere. But again, I think we're all guilty of it to a certain degree. So I've also encountered, I would say, a lot of, I guess you could say, energy vampires who are quote unquote victims in my metaphysical circles, which has been interesting because when I first started out with this type of work, I didn't know anything about energy vampires or any of this stuff at all. I was just living my life. And of course, in retrospect, looking back, it would have been really beneficial for me to have studied at least this information to have an understanding as to why I kept attracting the same types of people into my life, people who needed to be fixed, needed to get their life together. And I was always, you know, the person to help them do that, right? Because I wanted to save them and make sure that they were going to be okay and they were going to excel. And, you know, I didn't want them to be hurt in any capacity and et cetera. It's a horrible, horrible pattern. But I think a lot of us kind of have it. But of course, looking back, I think we can kind of see our patterns. Anyway, I will say that in a couple of circles, you know, where I practiced with people who became friends, there was a notable theme, which was that of victimhood. Why isn't the world, you know, why is the world against me? And this is something that I feel like I've encountered a lot. And, you know, I've always kind of grappled with this too. Do empaths attract a lot of negative people? And I wonder about that because if we think about the law of attraction, you know, you attract like attracts like. So you would think that empaths would attract people who are just like themselves, who just, you know, want to help everybody out and give. But that's not necessarily the case. My experience has been we attract people who need that healing. And I always wonder, how do they know? How do they know that you're it? Is there some sort of inner light, some trigger, something that goes off, like a red alert saying, look at me, I will save you, or I'm the one to help you, come find me? Is there's some sort of magnetic attraction that I don't know, that rings for them, and boom, they're in your life. And it's like they infiltrate your life very quickly and easily. And then you find yourself doing things for them constantly, right? So anyway, sorry, I'm just kind of going on a sidetrack here, but moving back to being in metaphysical circles where there are a lot of victims. So I have a tendency to attract people who are also superiorly negative. Now, I'm really not that negative. I will say that obviously when, you know, life is falling apart, it's easier to think negatively, right? Of course, we all kind of fall into that. But it has been interesting because I have found a lot of negative people, people who feel like they have been victimized excessively. And again, I found this in New Age circles. And it's kind of interesting because from my understanding, and again, I'm making a lot of assumptions today, so please forgive me. When you have a spiritual path, a spiritual practice, this spiritual practice that you have that you're supposed to be doing daily is supposed to be a form of upliftment, right? And provide you some sort of clarity, but yet help you to be positive, help you to see beyond the realm here, beyond the 3D, beyond like the horror of this world, to get you to understand that what's really happening here is people are acting out of their, you know, their wounds, acting out of their fear, actually. But that's not the case. And I feel like this could be a whole other topic. I don't know why I just thought about this, but, what I have found more often than not, when I practice, let's say in mediumship circles, when I practice with other tarot card readers, when I practice with other clairvoyants, etc., is that a lot of, practitioners don't necessarily have a very strict, spiritual practice. They have a skill set that they have developed that they use, which is great to help people. However, they have yet to adhere to a very specific spiritual practice that would help them move through this world and have an understanding of the self and an understanding of the world and God, for lack of a better word, in general. Therefore, they are subject to feeling like a victim more, you know, easy, just as easy as anybody else. So it has been an interesting experience, but I have attracted people who always feel that the whole world, you know, is crap. It's against them. People who feel the need again to be completely rescued and supportive. And it's been super interesting because that's not, and this speaks to my level of being naive, but also when you're kind of transitioning into a different community, there's a lot you don't know and that you learn. And I'm not saying that I'm better than anybody else at all, but I will say this has been my experience, is that you will find you will find some energy vampires or emotional vampires who feel very much so victimized due to circumstance. And again, to me, it is just an interesting experience because I am under the belief that most people in the New Age, New Thought, metaphysical community subscribe to a very particular belief that we create our reality. Therefore, how can we be complete victims of our reality, right, etc. And which I have had very challenging conversations with people in this community about that belief in general, because a lot of us do fall upon the sword of negativity very easily rather than really find a spiritual practice that helps us to remember and have faith in the fact that we are creators to a certain degree of our reality. And that's a conversation in itself for another day. But this is something that I have encountered again and again and again in this type of community. And it has really made me think about the role sometimes teachers play, I guess you could say, when they're teaching these types of classes, right? And ethics and et cetera. That's just, again, another conversation, but it has brought up a lot to me to question as a teacher myself, to other students, talking to them about having a very strong spiritual practice, individual, whatever it is for them, right? To not kind of fall into becoming, the victim, becoming the narcissist, being the controlling person or even a criticizer, et cetera. Because I think that it's easy for us to become, if you will, an energy vampire. It's easy to have very imbalanced relationships, and it's easy to attract people who are also like that. And anyway, it's just kind of been in my mind for a little while. So how do we kind of deal with these types of people that we attract? Well, first and foremost, you have to acknowledge what you've been attracting. And if you're really a raw and truthful person to yourself, if you're an honest person, then kind of sitting down and looking at the types of relationships that you've had and looking at the pattern of the types of people you keep attracting is really important. You can't lie about it, and you can't make excuses for people. And I feel like a lot of empaths make so many excuses for people. I am guilty of it too. I used to give people like 10 chances each because I always feel like life is hard. We make mistakes. We act, crazy sometimes out of fear, out of pain, out of worry and anxiety. I get it. However, looking back and seeing that the same type of devil keeps coming back again has forced me to be very direct and honest with myself and really set up very profound and deep boundaries with these types of people. So identifying the type of vampire, if you will, that keeps coming back in your life, I feel like is very important, and getting to the root of, why you keep attracting these people. Now, here's a good question that I have. So if we think about our lives, right, in terms of the fact that we have lessons here, there is a certain level of destiny being played out here as well, and we have karma as well. So is it our karma to attract these types of people? Sometimes I really wonder about that. Is there some sort of karmic debt, let's just say, that you have with these types of people? Maybe you were the emotional vampire in a previous life. I don't know. I definitely couldn't tell you. What I will say is that I have kind of looked into my records a little bit, and I have definitely known a lot of the people I have had relationships with before in previous lives. And a lot of these people, again, have come into my life, and I've helped them tremendously. And after I've helped them tremendously, they're out. It's like they got what they needed and they left. And I think a lot of us probably have had that experience. But was it karma for that? Or was this a life lesson? Or are they being attracted? Or are we attracting them, so we can learn a very profound lesson? And that part of me says yes. I really think so. I would not have learned half of the things in my life if I had not attracted some of these people. Unfortunately, it took me 3 or 4 times to learn the one lesson, which is horrible when you think about it. But then when you learn it, thank God. So I always kind of wonder about that. I do feel like there is a purpose to everything. So maybe it is a little bit of our karmic debt that we have. And maybe there's a lesson in there that we asked to learn, and that these types of people are coming into our lives so that we can learn how to set boundaries, so we can learn self-respect, so we can learn the power of no and know our self-worth as well. So I feel like sometimes that we are attracting these types of people, not as punishment, but to learn a very profound lesson. Okay. So obviously, if we have family members who are vampires, energy vampires, emotional vampires, we can't just, kick them to the curb. Now, some people do. Some people completely disown them and that they're totally empowered to do that. However, most of us don't necessarily feel inclined to just, you know, especially if it's your parent or your, you know, sibling, it's a little difficult to just, you know, say deuces and be out, right? You have to find a way to manage your relationship with them. And that's all about setting up boundaries with that person, right? We all have a level, a threshold at which if that person, you know, crosses it, we're going to go ballistic. And, you know, we're going to just lose our mind and say whatever we want to say or act out in some sort of crazy way. So being honest with your boundaries and letting that person know, hey, you know, I'm not going to engage in that talk with you or, you know, that discussion with you about that topic, et cetera. And then just boom, move on. I feel like even if you have family members who, let's say, are the victim, who always need help all the time, it's harder to say no. It is so much harder, especially if you are somebody who has been in the same position that they're in or that they're currently going through. It's very hard for us to just be, you know, turn a blind eye and just be like, nope, whatever, go live your life. Good luck. Life sucks for you now. You know, figure it out. Most of us aren't going to do that. We're going to reach out and we're going to help. However, again, your brother, sister, cousin, or whatever could be the narcissist, could be the victim, and could be using you in that kind of way. And you still have to set up boundaries even with them. And there is a lesson for them in this relationship as well, not just for you. So sometimes, but you know, setting boundaries is just not enough. And that's the truth. Some people just do not understand boundaries and they don't care, especially if they're the narcissist. They're not going to give, you know, a crap about your boundaries. It's always going to be what they want. And it's at that point where you actually have to kick that person to the curb and move on. It's not a case of you've outgrown them. It's a case of they don't give a crap and neither should you. And you should just bounce because it's an unhelpful relationship. It's draining you. It's killing you. And again, you must have absolutely no concept of self-respect if you stay in that relationship whatsoever. I feel like sometimes that we do attract people who are narcissists because we need to learn the lesson of boundaries, but we need to learn the lesson of self-love. If we truly loved ourselves, we would not be sitting there, you know, listening to someone talk about themselves who could give, you know, not even care if you live or breathe, you know, who doesn't even want to know anything about yourself. I think that there's a profound lesson in terms of self-love and understanding and accepting self-worth. And again, I think that we attract these types of relationships for very specific reasons, for a lesson, for healing, and for growth. But yes, there are times where there are just very toxic people in your life and you have to cut the cords and leave. And I know that when you cut the cords, it's going to be hard because you're going to feel guilty and the other person is going to still try to reach out and they're still going to find a way to try to drag you back. Don't do it. Know that, again, it will be replaced. And know that the lesson that you learned is extremely valuable and hopefully will not be rearing its head again. And sometimes I feel like the universe, you know, even if you've learned the lesson once, I feel like they want to make sure you really did learn it. And therefore, they might put another, I don't know, narcissist in your path. And hopefully, at the start of that relationship, you will see the same red flags, you know, that existed in the previous relationship where you could already cut it short and know that the relationship is not for you. So everything obviously on this planet is for healing, for growth, for learning, etc. That's why we're here apparently. Anyway, everybody, I think that's all I really had on energy vampires. I think that if you're forced to deal with them in your family, the way to kind of like shake it off when you come home, I really do feel like you have to just soak in salt water. I feel like that's the best way to kind of get rid of that residue, because I feel like there's like a stain, or there's something in your aura that they do. There's some sort of manipulation, and you feel it, and you're carrying their baggage with you home, right? This emotional baggage that doesn't even belong to you. It's like you absorbed all their crap. And I feel like when you come home, you have to, like, you know, bathe to kind of clean yourself and get rid of all this baggage. And I do think that soaking in like salt water to try to like shake it off is the best way, because again, empaths absorb a lot of people's emotions, a lot of people's pain. And when you carry it, you feel guilty if you don't reach out and help. You feel better, almost euphoric, when you're able to solve someone's problem for them. And our job is not to solve everybody's problems for them. They will not learn themselves. You are taking away their opportunity to learn the lesson. That is one of the reasons that they are here. Do not do them a disservice. Also, you can kind of look at things that way. Anyway, if you guys are interested in studying a lot more about vampires, energy vampires, let me put it like that, Dr. Judith Orlov has so much information about energy vampires. You can look her up, and I'm sure it's way more in depth than I presented today. I hope that this has been helpful for everybody. I know that there are always going to be people who are controlling, narcissistic, criticizing, people who play the victim a lot in our lives, but it's our job to really identify what's happening and step away and be honest with ourselves about it, and to feel empowered to say no to those types of relationships. Thank you guys. I hope this has been helpful, and I'll see you again next week. Bye-bye.